are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Holy Ghost and the Journey of Life, is the third message in the series Ghost Stories, a look at the supernatural and the third person of the Trinity, and is taught by Mike Cranford. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
For the last few weeks, we've been telling some ghost stories here on Sunday morning. On the night that Jesus died, in John chapter 14, 15, 16, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and he began telling his disciples that the Holy Ghost was about to fall upon the earth in a very special and unique way. And so for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what did Jesus mean by that? And 2 weeks ago, we did a talk called Who is the Holy Ghost? And we learned the Holy Ghost is not an it, it's a he, it's a being. Last Sunday, we talked about the promised Holy Spirit coming inside and dwelling within mankind, which is a very awesome and mystical experience. And last Sunday, as we left the sermon, the question was, well, now that the Holy Spirit's inside of us, so now what? What does that mean? And this morning I've asked my brother Michael Cranford. Now, Mike and I have been friends a long time. I met Mike when I first started dating a lady named Cinda Harwood, who became a Cinda Winans, and she's amazing. And I met Mike a long time ago. We went to seminary together. He's a good friend, and he's now running the men's ministry at our church, and he's a gifted teacher. He taught for a while at my seminary, a sharp guy. And so I asked him this morning to come in and teach us this topic of, so now what? So what does that mean now the Holy Spirit's in us? This morning, would you welcome my brother Mike Cranford up?
Love you.
Life is a journey with a beginning and an end. And a lot of people in our culture, they don't want to picture the end, right? They want to think about the stops along the way. David writes in Psalm 39:4. It's one of my favorite verses. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. If you can't picture the end of a journey, it's difficult to know where to go. Just wander around. Frank and I were at seminary together, and we studied under this amazing man, Neil Anderson. And I'd been doing an internship with Neil, and he invited me to his house. There were some other guests coming to his house, invited me there for dinner. And he told me the address, and I think I wrote it down. It was a very unique street name. And this is back in the days where there's no navigation, right? So I have my Thomas Brothers guide, and I flip it open. I'm going through the index looking for the name of the street, and I find it. And I get in my car, and I'm just driving. And I go way out. I mean, it's Riverside County somewhere. I'm driving around. I find the street, but I can't find the number that I've written down. So I'm driving up and down the street looking around. And I realize I need to call him, because now I'm going to be late for dinner. And, of course, there's no cell phones back at this time either. And so I have to pull over and find a payphone and make a call. And I gotten the name of the street wrong. Which just doesn't happen anymore today. I'm an hour away from his house at this point. And I think about that all the time now, especially when I'm thinking about the fact that I don't have to worry about these things anymore. Having an accurate destination in your mind makes a big difference on any journey. And there's no journey more important than the journey of your life. The Apostle Paul, in his letters, he uses imagery to talk about that journey and how we take on that journey. And sometimes he uses the imagery of a run, like in Philippians 3, which we studied a few months ago, where life is a race, a running race. And that's a great image when you want to talk about endurance, because running a race is hard, and you have to have your eyes focused right in front of you, because you're moving fast, it's not safe, and you might trip or fall or... You know, so there's that sense of direction in a race. It's very important. You're heading for a finishing line. Sometimes, though, Paul talks about the journey of life as a walk. And our lives are kind of like that. Most of the time, we don't feel like we're pressing ahead in some race. We're just kind of doing day to day. We're doing our routine. We're going to work. We're with our families, sort of step by step. Walking's relaxed. You don't always have to have a purpose. I mean, maybe you should, but you don't always. Maybe I'll go this way. Maybe I'll walk that way. That's the way of a walk. And a lot of life feels that way. Days roll by one after another. And we can take our eyes off the path ahead of us if you're just strolling along. And if you do, well, you might end up lost, right? Somewhere far from where you were planning to be or somewhere where you've never been. Or you might end up actually tripping because you're thinking, well, I'm not moving very fast, I'm okay. And next thing you know, there is something in front of you because you're not paying a whole lot of attention and you go down. That's the way of a walk where we become lost and we can trip. Some of us here have walked a long way, right? And I feel like I've walked a long way. And I hope the Lord gives me the time to walk a little bit further before I'm with him. But we all need to think about the destination where we're walking to. Because our walk through life isn't on a green belt. It's not some clearly defined path. A lot of times we're just coming through distractions. There are branches ahead of us. We're like, where was I headed here? We need a path. Some of the side paths, they look enjoyable on the walk of life. Maybe I'll stroll down this way or that way. And the world, you know, it's calling you to those paths, saying, hey, look at this. This could be fun. Try this. If I go where I feel like I want to go in life, I'll end up in the wrong place. I know that about myself. If I just kind of look for that easy path or the fun thing, I'll end up wrong. And I know that because I have at different points on my own power, just kind of done my own thing, and I've ended up in a bad spot. I would fail. I'm not capable on my own of reaching the destination that I need in life. That's what I know. I'm the pilot, but there's a navigator in my life. Praise God. It's the Holy Spirit who came into the core of my life many years ago. And to the degree I followed his leading in my life, things have worked out amazing and miraculously for me. And to the degree I've kind of done my own thing and what I felt like, things haven't worked out so well. Because I'm destined for something greater than the things that I'm just sort of strolling by in this life. I'm destined for eternity. And you are too. And that's what this talks about. It's about that walk through life. And it's about the person that walks with you, if you'll stay in step with them. And it's about the lives that we want to have and that we're meant to have. And these are lives of joy and peace and self-control, because that's the life he'll lead you to if you allow him. That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to study out of Galatians 5, and I'm going to read the first couple verses for you. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another, so that you're not to do whatever you want. Frank, last week, spoke about the indwelling Holy Spirit. We accept Christ, we have a seal of our salvation, it can't be taken away, it's a person of God, comes into our lives. And that's how we know we're going to be in eternity with him, because we have the person of God in the core of who we are. But we have to also, and this is this week, understand that the person of God within us isn't just a passenger. He's not just sort of walking along to make sure that we get to heaven. He leads us to the destination that we're headed for, that he sealed us for, to become who we're meant to be in the end, and also on the journey, he guides us to Christ-likeness. He contradicts the feelings that we have in our flesh to just go the way that the world wants. So the first point, the Holy Spirit desires holiness in the center of our lives. He contradicts our learned habits of disobedience. He contradicts it. It says this in verse 17. So that you're not to do whatever you want. Right? He's there to help you. Because you're not to do whatever you want in this life as a follower of Christ. And this is going to be important. And it's difficult because we live in a culture here which places the highest value on doing whatever you want. I mean, that's what everybody thinks is the greatest thing that they can have in our culture. The freedom to do whatever you want. So I want to step back one second. I want to tell you about this passage. I want to give you the context for Galatians 5. Paul's writing to a Gentile church in Galatia. It's a Roman province. It's in what is today North Turkey. And these Christians have been influenced by some Jewish Christians in their fellowship who are telling them that they need to become Jewish to become part of the people of God. That faith in Christ is great, but they need to come under the law. So you have this sense of the law, kind of like this big umbrella. And they need to come under this big umbrella. And one of their arguments, so you can see this in some of the stuff Paul's writing, like here in Galatians 5 and also in Romans chapter 7 and 8, is that the law is not just what kind of defines who the Jewish people are, but it actually gives them a way to live life. It's a way to please God and be obedient in your life and to achieve holiness. And apparently these Gentile Christians in Galatia, well, they're messed up in a lot of pagan behavior. So they're struggling with the same old sins, and they're fighting with each other. And so you can imagine these Jewish Christians, there's a great argument. They're saying, hey, you can't not be under the law, like what Paul's telling you. Because obviously you can't break away from your old lifestyle. So it's a pretty good argument why they should stay under the law or be under the law. So here's the response in Galatians 5. Paul's saying, it's very important to them, and it's very important to all of us, which is that God has a different way to lead us to be holy people. And it's a better way. And it works for all people who have faith, not just the Jewish people. That's the good news. It's for the nations of the world. It's a better way because his plan is not to just give us some rules on tablets of stone, or to dwell in a building made by human hands, but to dwell in the center of our lives. It's not about following a rule, it's about a transformation of who you are in your heart, so that you want the things that God wants, and are not just following some list of things. It's about a transformation of your life. It's about power in the center of your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us what to do. He leads us away from our sinful tendencies to the fruit of a life that's controlled by him. And this is Galatians 5:18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You have a totally different way of being drawn into holiness with God. So in life, you know, when you're told by someone, let's say someone says they know best, and they're going to tell you what to do. Give you a set of rules. You know, sometimes that works. You know, if you're at your job and you don't maybe know the right way to do certain things, somebody telling you the right thing to do, that can work and help you to do the thing. Sometimes all we need is to be pointed in the right direction. The problem is, what if you don't want to do what they're telling you? What's your motivation at that point? I mean, maybe the fact that they're threatening you with some kind of discipline or something like that, so maybe you do obey when they're watching you. We naturally do the things that we feel like in life. Just a list of rules doesn't necessarily take us the way we should go. And Paul talks about the flesh here. Our flesh is our body. And it's not just our physical body, but our physical mind, our brain, with its chemistry and its all these things from our past and our bad habits and our mistakes and all of that. That's part of who we are. We've been conditioned in these bodies and in these brains to give in to what feels good. The world just sets us up for it. It's every day. It's every mistake we've made in the past. Giving me a rule to follow when I don't feel like doing it doesn't help me to do the right thing. Right? That's the weakness of the law. Paul's pointing this out. There's a popular series of books out there about setting boundaries for your kids to help them to live a certain way. And one of the big strategies in this book, or in these books, is to give your kids something they really love. And then when they're going to break your rule, you take it away from them, right? So that you have leverage. to get them to do the thing. And you know, sometimes that's going to work. If you give your kids a car and you're giving it to them thinking, I get to take this away when my kid doesn't come home at a certain time of night, that can work. It can also, though, build resentment so that the kid is thinking, I don't want to lose the car, but next time I'm just going to sneak out and they're never going to know. See, that can happen. And maybe it's a little bit, and kind of we do the same thing also, even as adults. Maybe it's a little payback, like I'm going to show them. And maybe it's also like, hey, if that's like a real strict rule, maybe I should break it. Maybe that's going to be fun. I mean, why can't I do that? Right? My parents, when I was growing up, their rules sort of became this thing I wanted to try breaking. That's how it was for me. And my mom's sitting right here. So your 50-year-old son is telling you about this now, Mom. It's probably a shock to you. This is the problem with Israel and the law. The nation as a whole, if you look at the story of the Old Testament, they just fought against God's rules. That's the whole story of the Old Testament as a whole. Individual people didn't, but the nation as a whole did. God gave them blessings, and then he took them away. Led them into certain great places, and then pulled it all back, sometimes for generations. Okay, now, sorry, I'm going to leave you in captivity. 70 years. You see it over and over, and they never really learn as a whole. You can't change people's hearts by a list of rules. In our culture generally, not just Christians, but what changes a human heart? I mean, what is the thing that changes our hearts? The thing that changes you is a relationship. It's love. It changes you. Christianity is not about rules. Following Christ, it's not about rules. It's about God dwelling inside of you. That's what it is. It's not about telling us what to do. It's about giving us the power to go his way. Because the Holy Spirit, he creates a whole nother series of priorities in our lives. And they're in tension with our bodily cravings, the things that we just sort of naturally want in life, and the things that are thrown out in front of us by the media. It's not a conscience that he gives us. It's a heart. It's longing for the things that God wants is what he gives you, a longing. It's a pull and a desire for those things in your life. It's a power to have victory over the things in your past. That's what he offers you. As Christians, we're not pointed. Rules point us. We are led. People lead you. The Holy Spirit leads us. We're led by the person of God in our hearts. And as we follow, we become closer to him. And we change at the very center of who we are. And Paul in Ephesians 4:30 tells us that if we disobey, we're not breaking a rule. We're grieving the Holy Spirit inside of us. And if you're in tune with the Spirit, you're feeling a sadness when you don't go the way that you know is God's heart for you. You will feel sad in the core of who you are because it's him. It's not a rule. Rules don't make you sad. People are sad. So here's the experience after you receive the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm talking to people that have had this experience for most of their lives. But the things you've wanted in the past, that you've gratified yourself with in the past, they bother you when you have the Spirit of God in you. It really bothers you. It feels different from before if you've come to Christ old enough in your life. It's not the same as it was before you knew him. Things feel wrong to you. And if you hang with that and you go with that feeling instead of just going the way that you want to go, they begin to bother you even more to the point where you can get to a stage in your life where you look back on your earlier life and think, I'm repulsed by all the things I was messed up in. So over time, things change. And then also something comes into your life over time. As that happens, as you submit to that and follow along with that leading, you get something. You get peace in your life. And joy. and self-control. All of a sudden, it gets easier and easier to glorify God in your life. I think sometimes about how different I'd be today if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life. I think I'd be unbearable. Really? As I look back, and I'm just saying that I became a Christian when I was younger, but I just see the differences in the last 10 to 20 years of my life and how profound those are. I can't even imagine, really, how bad it would be if I didn't have him. And maybe you can think about that. How different you'd be if you didn't have him in your life. And maybe how different you'd be if you submitted completely to his leading in the future. If you told me in my early 20s that I was going to end up meeting Frank and going to seminary and studying the Word of God as a core thing in my life, I would have laughed out loud at you. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that sounded worse to me at that point in my life. That sounded so boring and so, like, why would I waste my life doing something like that? And here I am, up here speaking with you right now, with a lot of joy in my life over everything that God's done in me. So something's changed in me over the years. It's my heart, but you know, it wasn't me. I've actually done everything pretty much in my power to fight against this. But he's changed me. So this is the leading of the Spirit. We can stay in step with him, or we can choose not to follow. This is the choice we have. We can choose to do the things that everyone does in the world, even though it's not okay. We have that choice and that freedom as followers of Christ. They can't choose to follow the leading of the Spirit out in the world, but we can choose to follow the world. So Paul writes about what that feels like if we follow sort of our bodily, you know, the things that our mind and our body, or our brain and our body are accustomed to. He writes in verse 19, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Can you feel that? I mean, Paul, it's like he's almost sick writing about these things. That's how horrible this is for him, to even envision that they might be caught up in something like this. And it's what the world is caught up in, then and now. The world's controlled by the flesh, and the result is self-destructive behavior. The world and its desires are not part of the kingdom of God. They're not going to be here, people. When the kingdom comes, they're all going to be gone. These are the signs of a world that is not controlled by the Holy Spirit. You look at the media, you see things like this promoted. This is a world not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They are signs of a life not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They are signs of a life that does whatever it feels like. What we feel like, sometimes, is hatred and rage. We feel like that. We have these habits in our lives. We have memories. We feel like paying people back for the things they do that hurt us sometimes. We feel like being out of control sometimes and crossing lines with sex or alcohol or something else. We feel like that sometimes because we're hurting. It's our flesh. We take sides against people and argue with them and feel like we have to be right. That's our flesh. We feel like putting ourselves first and pushing other people behind us. That's selfish ambition. We feel like that. It's our flesh. These things lead to bondage and ruin in your life. They destroy relationships, they destroy peace, and they destroy joy in your life. There is no one who pursues these things who ends up with the fruit of the Spirit in their life. If you let yourself go, you can't have it. You're directly opposing the power of the Spirit. The flesh can be the strongest motivational force in your life if you allow it, because it's you But it's also here and connected to this world. And you're going to be stuck in this for a while and therefore influenced by the world and your brain and your past and your memories and your habits. How do I get rid of this? Well, I'm going to die. And then this is gone, and I'm going to get a new body. And it's not going to have any of this stuff in it. It's not going to have any influence by sin or the world and my past. These things aren't going to influence me at all. But there's a way to have victory before you die. And it's by the same power that you're going to get that new body. And that way is for you, and I'm talking about the you inside the shell, the jar of clay that's expiring, the you inside of that, can be led by the Spirit of God, who's one day going to restore everything for you when you stand before the Lord. He's there inside that shell with you because of your salvation. It's a choice you can make to let him lead and to follow him. It's every choice you make. When I encounter people who are attacking Christianity, I mean, just outwardly disputing Christianity, atheists, there's usually a lifestyle issue. It's not usually an intellectual point. It's usually lifestyle, something going on in their life. I know people like this. And they want to do what they want to do. And they can't just have Christianity sitting there as something, yeah, I'm not going to try that. They need to be against it. Because, see, Christianity has to be false for them to be okay living the lives that they're living. They both can't be true. So they oppose it. And you know what I've learned is a lot of times there's no point in even arguing with these people. Because you're not arguing against an intellectual argument. It's a stronghold you're arguing against in their lives that's wrapped around behavior in their lives. You can't free them from that thinking with an intellectual argument. The only thing that may free them is the realization that the life that they're living is not going to work out for them. And that there's something more than the stuff they're caught up in. If we let these behaviors control us, if we follow the flesh and we do the thing that we feel like doing, we're going to quench the power of the Spirit in our lives. This is another image Paul uses. This idea of the Spirit almost like a raging flame in our lives. We quench that in different ways where we don't submit to the Spirit. And we're no different, really, than anyone in the world if we don't submit to the Spirit. But you know something? Why would we want to be like them? Why would we want to be like this world? It's all going away. I mean, we're all leaving. And then all of this is going to go. We know the world's destiny and where their journey will take them. And we know our journey and where we're headed. Why would we want to live like that? These things don't bring happiness anyway. The life which is controlled by the Holy Spirit will result in an experience of true fulfillment and a lifestyle of love and self-control. This is Paul in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this is the fruit, the harvest, the result of a Spirit-controlled life, or what we can call a Spirit-filled life, a life submitted to the control and power of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit. This is what comes out of that life. No rules compare or stand up against these things. They appear in the center of a life which is yielded to the freedom and the power of the person of God. The law, people, didn't make anybody more kind or give anybody more self-control or make anybody more gentle. Rules don't do that. What does that is the Lord, in your life. He brings these things by changing you on the inside. They're the opposite of the acts of the flesh. They're character traits, and they're outward behaviors of love and kindness that you see tangibly in the life of Jesus Christ. You see all of these characteristics as he's being led to the cross. In the most extreme hardship that anybody can picture, you see every one of these things manifest in his life by the power of the Holy Spirit that's also in you. Do you need peace? It's not the peace in the world. Jesus says in John 14, 27, "My peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives." It's not serenity. It's the peace that took Christ to the cross. It's not the peace that makes you feel tranquil as you're watching the ocean. It's a work of the Spirit. It's the experience you have when you know that your life is in the hands of the Creator of the universe and that those hands are loving hands. That's peace. When you know that whatever life brings to you, that in the end, it's all going to be okay. That's peace. The world doesn't have that peace. Mm-mm. When things are going badly. Do you want that peace to fill your life? The world doesn't have joy. Has happiness, has joy and the sense of having fun, thrills. But joy as a fruit of the Spirit is not happiness. It is fulfillment. It's being lifted above the circumstances of life, whether they're happy and fun or whether they're horrible. Being lifted up to God's perspective and understanding it really doesn't matter, that there's something greater. And you see things that are caught up in the heart of God, and you realize it's all good because there is a greater plan and a greater meaning in your life. It's fulfillment. It's a lifting of the human spirit to that level. It's the feeling you'll have on the day when you stand with Jesus. Picture that feeling. It's not happiness. I mean, we'll be happy. It's beyond. That's the quality you can have in your life today. Because of the Holy Spirit. It's the same feeling for the same reason. You're connected to that moment. The Holy Spirit doesn't offer these things as gifts. These aren't gifts. They're fruit. We're going to talk about gifts next week. This is a result of a life that's submitted to him. If we have new life in the Spirit, our old life is gone. We should keep in step with the Spirit as he leads us to the things that last forever. Galatians 5, 24, 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, our flesh is still here, making its pull, trying to drag us off course. But it has no power because we have a choice to yield to the person of God. Our old lives died on a cross. Crucified. We can choose to let it have power, or we can choose to follow the Spirit and our new life. Since we do have new life, makes no sense to submit ourselves to this stuff that's passing away with these bodies. Makes no sense. In light of the destination that we're walking toward, we have the power to live in victory and not be slaves of the past if we keep in step with the Spirit, because he's here. Walking with me. But he's slightly ahead of me in the journey of life, drawing me ahead by his love, showing me where I need to go toward the kingdom which lasts forever. That's my destination. That's yours also if you've trusted in him. In 2013, there was this big story, at least in the Christian media. It doesn't get, obviously, wide media coverage. Rosa Butterfield, she's was a professor of English and women's studies at the University of Syracuse, despised Christianity. She's a gay activist, a leftist, had a personal mission to go after Christianity, had Christian students in some of her classes. Really enraged her. She was watching the 1992 Republican National Convention, and Pat Robertson was up talking about the religious right and how, you know, tying Christianity to politics in a way which offended her, and the way he was characterizing feminism, it offended her because in her perspective, the community that she was part of, she called that a politics of hatred. Her community was a loving community. That's how she looked at it. So she did research. She read the Bible and wrote an article about a Christian organization that she felt was patriarchal against women, called Promise Keepers, oppressive political ministry, she believed, wrote this article, published it 1997, got a lot of attention, a lot of hate mail to her, and also got a lot of praise from people in her community. And she would talk about that. She had these stacks. But there was one mail that she got that didn't fit in either stack. And it was from a pastor at a church in her city. And he didn't hate on her. He just said, "I'm not sure you completely understand the perspective that you're criticizing. Like, why do you believe this or that about following Christ?" And so she started interacting with this man and found him to be a very kind person. And she was shocked because that wasn't her view of Christianity. Ended up getting to know him and his wife and had a dialogue with him over the course of a couple years. And to the point where she felt so comfortable, she started going to church events at his church and meeting people. And then over time, she accepted Christ. Chokes me up. I mean, and over the years after that, became completely changed by the power of God and is now an activist for Jesus Christ and is married to a pastor in North Carolina. Yeah, her story is called My Train Wreck Conversion. It was the number two most viewed page on Christianity Today in 2013. I assume the homepage was the number one page. You can't explain it, people. Not by the world standards. You can't explain what happened in her life. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's God. He changed her on the inside. Spirit of God is here right now, and he wants to change you, transform your life. Follow his leading. Follow what he wants. He wants to bring peace and joy and self-control and love into your life. It's what everyone wants. It's what she wanted. And she finally got it by the Spirit of God. He wants to work through you to love people with the love of Christ and draw them into the kingdom. Keep in step with his lead. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. That I can be up here talking right now is a work of your Spirit. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I know all of us here who have put our trust in Christ are thankful. And I pray that we would all be empowered to follow you and let you work, that we'd go all in, Lord, letting your Spirit fill us and control us and produce this amazing fruit that we all need and long for until the moment we stand with you. In your name, amen.
Spirit of the living God, that is a prayer. Help us to be more aware of your presence. Jesus said that you were coming into our lives. And when you came, you'd be a comforter, you'd be a healer. You would convict concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus says that when you came, that you would be enlightenment, that we would understand things freely given to us, that you would bring to our remembrance things. We read in the scriptures that you intercede for us. Jesus told us, our ancestors, to wait in Jerusalem until you came. And when you came, power would fall upon the Christian. And then we would be a witness. Jesus told us about you, Spirit of God. We want to understand you. You came into our hearts the day that we received the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Having believed, the Bible says we are sealed. And now that you dwell within us, Spirit of the living God, we read that we are to walk in step with you today. And as we walk in step with the Spirit of God that dwells within us, we will have a peace that this world will never give, a patience, a kindness, a goodness, self-control, a power, a heavenly hope. Holy Spirit, would you pour that into our lives today as we continue this journey of understanding the Holy Spirit? Lord, I know that there are some brothers and sisters in this room. I know this, that today they so hunger for these things. I pray that they could leave this morning and say they met with God and that there was this power that came on them. Would you send your peace? Teach us how to walk in step with you. We seek power. We pray that you would teach us how to be Christians of power. And Lord, next Sunday, as we get to see the demonstrations of your power in our church body, I pray that you would edify your church, bring encouragement. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fall fresh and new upon this place. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit upon our lives. Thank you for the power of change that takes place within our lives. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus, thank you for making us as white as snow. Jesus, thank you for recording our names in heaven and preparing a place for us when we die. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much to go to that cross and to pay for our guilt and shame. Jesus, thank you that you've not left us as orphans upon this planet, but you've sent to us a comforter, a helper. Jesus, would you help us to understand more what you mean as we continue this series? Holy Spirit, help us to understand, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.